Chapter 12. Friday, October 26th, and Saturday, November 3rd.
Bronwyn. Friday, 8 p.m. Cooper's father won't talk to him, and people are being horrible to him on social media. Worst of all, none of the scouts for the teams who were interested in him will talk to Coach Ruffalo. But when we talked this afternoon, Cooper said he would try to find out about the cars that crashed in the car park. He remembers one was an old red Chevrolet Camaro, and he knows someone who works in a car repair shop in town. He's going to ask if anyone brought it either there or to any other repair place. The family watches Mikhail Powers Investigates again tonight. Mikhail is really angry that Cooper was outed as gay because of the way the police questioned students at school. I remember that Mikhail is gay, and he was outed after some photos of him kissing a guy were posted online a few years ago. It sounds as if he's still angry. Eli Kleinfelter from Until Proven is on again, talking about how badly things have been done. He mentions the way the police have concentrated on the four of us, without considering that there might be other people who wanted Simon dead. Then, Mikhail shows interviews with people about Simon, and they say what good grades he got, and how nice his family is. Then, we see Leah Jackson standing outside school, talking to the reporters.
She actually did it, says Maeve quietly.
Leah talks about the horrible posts and about cutting her wrists. Then, there's an interview with Aiden Wu. Finally, they show a screen from the forum where Simon is celebrating a school shooting. We can read the end of it. This kid didn't show much imagination. It worked. But haven't we seen this 100 times now? A kid shoots people at school. Shoots himself. And then there's his film explaining it. Do something better. Explode a bomb. Use a knife. Or ruin a few people's lives instead of shooting them.
So you did send that to the show? I whisper.
Yes, Maeve whispers back. But I didn't know they were going to use it. So during the next week, the media starts questioning the way the police have done things and stops concentrating on us. Nate and I are still talking every night. And in fact, we start talking about going out on a real date sometime. His mom really seems to be trying to help him.
Saturday, 10:17 a.m. When I wake up, I notice my phone only has a few minutes left. I'll have to ask Nate for another one. I stay in bed later than usual, and I'm just getting up when Maeve comes in. She's white-faced and shaking.
Come downstairs, she says.
What's happened?
Just come.
She takes me to the living room and points at the television, where I see Nate being led away from his house. The words, "Arrest in the Bayview murder case," are moving across the bottom of the screen. A reporter is speaking.
Bayview police say there is new evidence that allows them to arrest Nate McCauley, the only one of the four suspects with a criminal record.
Nate's face doesn't show any feeling. He looks the same as he did when I mentioned Until Proven at the mall. My parents aren't home, and neither is my lawyer. Then I think, Nate needs a good lawyer, not just someone the police give the job to.
Of course.
I phone Eli, who answers immediately, saying,
I guess you're watching the news. What do you think?
They're wrong. I stare at the screen, feeling more and more scared. Eli, Nate needs a good lawyer. Please, will you do it? He tells me how busy he is and how sorry he is that we are having a bad time. But I ignore this and tell him about Nate's parents and his awful life as a kid. Nate would hate it, I know. Finally, Eli says, "All right, I understand. Are either of his parents able to talk to me?" "Yes," I say, although I'm really not sure. "I'll talk to Nate's mom. When can we meet?" 10 o'clock tomorrow at the Until Proven offices.
Cooper, 3:15 p.m. A couple of scouts watch the game this afternoon. I play well, but they don't talk to me afterward. That's what you get for being a gay murder suspect, I guess. Reporters are different. They want to talk to me, and I try to ignore them, but one of them surprises me. "Cooper, what do you think about Nate McCauley's arrest?" "What?" She's pleased I don't know. "Nate McCauley's been arrested for Simon Kelleher's murder, and the police are saying you're no longer a suspect. Can you tell me how that feels?" No, I can't. When I get in the car, Pop says, without looking at me, "They arrested that McCauley kid." If somebody had asked me before all this started, I would have said that Nate was the obvious suspect for any crime at Bayview. But he tried to help Simon, and he protected me. There are lots of text messages for me, but the only ones I care about are from Chris. Although people know about us now, I've hardly seen him in the last couple of weeks. "Saw the news. This is good, right? Call when you can." At home, Nani's in the kitchen, and she asks me about the game. I tell her I played great, but nobody cares. "Things will get better, Cooper," she says. Before I can answer, Bronwyn calls me. "Hi, Cooper. You heard about Nate?" "Yeah. I'm trying to organize a meeting with Nate's mom and Eli Kleinfelter. I was wondering if you checked on that red Chevrolet." "I didn't find anything out yet," I say. "Please, can you try?" she says. "Yeah." "Okay," I reply. Realizing that, although Nate's not a friend, he's important to me now.